This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us on the Trocare College live line this morning, tech reporter Mike Tobuski. Okay, Mike, what signal and why do you keep giving me all these invitations to chats? I don't know what to do with them.
Yes, our very secure group chat on Signal that we have. Signal is actually considered to be a very secure chat app. It's a good way to think about it as somewhere between like a WhatsApp for messaging and a Zoom for video calls. It can kind of do a bunch of different things. And it's been around for a while. It's been around since about 2014 or so. And it's been relied upon by many people who need something that is maybe a little bit more secure than your average texting protocol. I know a lot of journalists who use this to talk to sources. So it has a pretty good reputation for keeping things pretty locked down with encryption and other methods by which to make sure it's not as easy for hackers to get in and look at your messages. For what it's worth, Apple's iMessage also offers its own form of encryption, but generally speaking, the sort of standard is considered to be Signal. That being said, is it best for, trading military secrets? I think that remains to be seen. But yeah, that's essentially what Signal is. Okay. They use certain encryption protocols that are specific to them to protect both, digital messages, text messages, and video calls and the like.
Who else would use an app like that?
It's a good question. I mean, we mentioned journalists, they've often been used by in other countries, political dissidents, to coordinate and to organize that type of thing. Certain protest movements where they would not necessarily want, scrutiny from authorities or what have you. It's not I don't want to make it seem like it's an illicit place because it's not. But it is generally used by people who just kind of want that extra level of security. You can imagine certain businesses as well would want that, certain kind of proprietary secrets or technologies or information that they would want to trade back and forth, that could be something of interest to their competitors. That is another application of this. So yeah, it's kind of used for those purposes. We know, for example, that, CNN, others have used this. Edward Snowden, has endorsed Signal, as has Elon Musk. It has been used by both Capitol rioters on January 6th and George Floyd protesters in 2020. So it's a pretty widely used system, not just in the United States, but around the world.
It was noted in this story in The Atlantic that some of the messages were tagged to expire or disappear after a certain period of time. I think one was like a couple weeks, other might have been 4 weeks, or I'm not sure the exact time frame. But is that common with these apps, that they're messages that could then kind of like poof, disappear? In other words, like not be traced or found by anybody looking for records or anything, or maybe a court subpoena or something like that after a certain period of time? Like I think a lot of people might know Snapchat, like they're famous for that sort of thing. Is that the same sort of idea on a lot of these messaging apps?
Yeah, I believe so. And Snapchat is a good comparison there, where essentially these are they're time limited, right? You can read them and then they vanish. And again, in Snapchat's estimation, that's really for entertainment purposes. That's for, social media. It kind of creates a different, vibe on that platform than on a Facebook or an X. For Signal, you can imagine that's a little bit more security minded, right? This idea that you might want to send a message, but, for that extra level of security, if a phone were to fall into the wrong hands or somebody was looking over your shoulder, shoulder for whatever reason on the subway, you know, that message vanishes. So there's no trace of it. Whether that message continues to remain somewhere in a server that is owned by Signal, I think, remains to be seen. A lot of these companies will tell you that, you know, we delete all personal information. It's encrypted and not related to you. But even still, you know, could a very talented hacker go find that information? You know, we just don't know at this point. But yeah, that is a relatively common thing, actually, is these disappearing messages, not just on Snapchat, but I believe the functionality is on WhatsApp as well. iMessage has its own sort of version of that in addition to that. So yeah, it's a fascinating thing, and it kind of just speaks to, you know, our changing communication habits.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure. But it does seem as though the military has its own communication system.
Yes. That is true. And you know, we are only privy to so much of that. I think the general consensus from the national security world is that though Signal is a pretty secure app for consumers, that is not what our government officials should likely be using if they are having these very highly sensitive sort of military conversations. And, you know, given that Signal is a sort of public, you know, facing app, right, you or I could be on it. You know, you have your phone number linked up to it because, of course, it is a messaging app at the end of the day. But you have mostly your username forward, right? It's you show up as yourself. So, you know, I could go add you to a Signal chat because I know your name. And that seems to be how Atlantic editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg got added to this Signal chat. So, you know, it's an easy thing to do. We've all texted the wrong person before, but when it's at this level, I think it's, you know, a cause for more concern than average.
Yeah, a little bit more than my oops.
Right.
For sure. You're a lot of the tech world this week paying attention to a 30-year-old law that could be transformed a little bit. Section 230. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Section 230 is often referred to as the 26 words that created the internet. And this was a provision of the 1996 Communications Decency Act. And what it does, it essentially protects tech companies from any litigation related to content that gets posted on their platforms. So basically, Facebook and many others, all its competitors, provide a platform for us to talk to each other. And if I post something defamatory about you on that platform, well, then you can come after me with legislate or with you know, a lawsuit of some kind, but you can't go after Facebook, right? That's what this protects. And many experts and tech companies themselves say this is what has allowed the modern internet to flourish, right? They haven't had to worry about approving every content, piece of content or comment that gets posted on their platforms. They haven't been tied up in litigation related to those comments. That has been, you know, the realm of the individual that has kind of been out of their purview, and that has allowed them to develop and advance and push technology forward. However, those on both sides of the aisle have recently taken issue with Section 230. Conservatives, Republicans in Congress have said that tech companies are over-censoring content. They're moderating too much. They're taking too much content down and unfairly silencing conservative voices as a result. Democrats believe pretty much the opposite, that these tech companies are not policing content enough and that they're taking down things that, you know, they're not taking down enough information related to things like election interference or pandemics and that sort of thing. So that's why Section 230 has recently been in the crosshairs. Tech publication The Information reports that we could see legislation as soon as this week from a bipartisan group of lawmakers aimed at reforming or potentially repealing Section 230, essentially saying 2027, this provision is going to snap out of existence. Tech companies better come to the table and negotiate how we're going to fix this to address some of these concerns on both sides of the aisle, which, as we've discussed, are pretty varied at this point. So the answer is, you know, still up in the air.
Mike, thank you very much.
Of course, guys. Take care.
Mike Dubusky, our tech reporter here on WBEN.